The Retaining Employment and Talent After Injury or Illness Network, known as RETAIN, is a joint initiative led by the U.S. Department of Labor's Office of Disability Employment Policy, referred to as ODEP. RETAIN is funded by ODEP, the Employment and Training Administration, and the Social Security Administration. RETAIN focuses on stay-at-work, return-to-work strategies for ill and injured workers so they can remain in their jobs or the workforce through timely, coordinated supports and services. Today's event is presented to you by the RETAIN Technical Assistance Provider at the American Institutes for Research.
Hi, this is Dr. Wayma Jones, a member of the RETAIN Technical Assistance Team. Welcome to today's podcast. In this podcast, Dr. Jacobson Van and RETAIN Technical Assistance Director Jamar Nellums will review the components of motivational interviewing. They will then demonstrate the application of the technique in a brief role-playing scenario and will end with a debrief to point out examples of how motivational interviewing was applied in this hypothetical case. Dr. Jacobson Van, in part one of the Motivational Interviewing podcast series, you provided an overview of what motivational interviewing is and the various components of the technique, including the spirit, four central principles, and skills and techniques of motivational interviewing. Before you and Jamar begin role-playing, it would be helpful to review the main concepts of this communication technique. As a review, what is motivational interviewing?
Thanks, Wayma. Motivational interviewing is a technique or style of counseling that's patient-centered. It aims to help patients explore and resolve their ambivalence or mixed feelings about behavior change. By helping people recognize their mixed feelings or ambivalence and the discrepancy between what they know they should do and what they actually do, it can help move them toward making positive changes.
One component of motivational interviewing is the spirit of motivational interviewing. Can you describe this component?
Sure. The spirit of motivational interviewing is not really techniques, but is called a way of being. It has more to do with how you make people feel than what you say. The spirit of motivational interviewing includes collaboration, acceptance, evocation, and compassion. Collaboration involves working with clients as partners. There is a focus on mutual understanding rather than the clinician or coach being right. Acceptance involves respecting the patient's autonomy, allowing patients to make their own decisions without judging them. Evocation involves drawing out the client's thoughts and ideas by asking questions rather than telling people what to do. And compassion means that the clinician demonstrates genuine care and concern by seeking to understand others' experiences, values, and motivations without judgment. And these are the underlying values of motivational interviewing.
Great. So there are also four central principles of motivational interviewing. What are these?
The four central principles of motivational interviewing are: express empathy, which is often done by using reflective listening; develop discrepancy, which generally involves using double-sided reflections; roll with resistance, which involves reframing resistance slightly to create momentum toward change; and avoiding arguing for change or using persuasion. And the fourth is support self-efficacy, which may be done by exploring what the patient has been successful at previously and helping them build on previous successes.
Okay, and what are the skills and techniques of motivational interviewing that are referred to as ORs?
The basic interaction skills and techniques for motivational interviewing, as you said, are called ORs, which stands for open-ended questions, affirmations, reflections, and summaries. Open-ended questions are used to probe and learn more about what a client has said. Often these open-ended questions start with the words what and how. Affirmations are statements that recognize and reinforce success or acknowledge any progress and express optimism. Reflections involve mirroring what the patient is saying to express empathy or stating what you believe the patient means by a statement. And summaries involve providing a synopsis after a client has talked at length to help clarify what has been said or to shift a stuck conversation.
Thank you. So now Dr. Jacobson, Van, and Jamar will briefly role play. Jamar is a patient who is seeing the doctor for an injury.
Hi, Jamar. What brings you here today?
I hurt my back at work a few days ago, and it's hard to turn my neck or to sit down. And I'm here because I need you to fill out and sign this disability form for me.
Oh, Jamar, I'm sorry that you hurt your back. Before we talk further about disability, I'd like to examine you and learn more about your injury. How does that sound?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. How did you injure your back? What were you doing?
Well, I was lifting some big boxes the other day, and I didn't notice anything at the time. But the next day, I could hardly stand the pain in my lower back and in my neck.
Sounds like you were very uncomfortable.
I was. I still am.
So, how is your back feeling today?
It still hurts a lot. And I'm worried that I can't return to my job because it's what I have to do is just too hard on my body, and the pain right now, it hurts a lot.
So you can't see yourself doing the same job?
Right. I mean, I have to work to put food on the table, but I don't want to end up being unable to get out of bed in the process.
Well, it sounds like you're worried about this pain becoming an ongoing problem that could get worse. Is it okay for me to examine your back and neck now?
Sure, but I can't move very much.
After the doctor conducts a thorough history and physical exam, they talk more about the back and neck problem and Jamar's work.
It looks like you have an injury that should heal within about 6 weeks with proper care. I'd like to refer you to a physical therapist to work with you on some strengthening exercises. And I'd also like you to talk with our nurse return to work coordinator, who can work with you and your employer about possible work options. How does that sound?
I'm not really sure about that.
What part of the plan are you concerned about?
I don't really want to do physical therapy exercises. So I've been asked to do them in the past, and it was a struggle to keep up with them. And so I really don't think that going back to work is a good idea, given the pain that my back is in.
Well, when you say you didn't keep up with the exercises, it sounds as if you were successful with getting started and did some of them.
Yes, I did. I actually did them for a few weeks, but then I stopped, and it was because I didn't have time to keep doing them.
So you were able to keep up with your PT exercises for a few weeks. What did you do to help fit these PT exercises in your schedule then?
Well, I had a friend work with me on them, and she was really great. She actually helped to keep me motivated.
Then what happened that led you to stop doing these exercises?
She got busy with family stuff. It just became harder for me to do them on my own. She wasn't able to help me anymore, so ultimately we both stopped.
Okay, so it sounds as if you were successful with doing PT exercises in the past. Mm-hmm. If you did agree to a PT referral, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is not at all confident, or you don't think you could do the follow-up with exercises, and 10 is you feel pretty certain that you could, where do you fall right now?
So 1 is not at all confident. I'd say maybe like a 4. I mean, I might be able to do it.
What made you say 4 rather than a 2 or a 3?
Well, I mean, I've done it for a short time, a period before, so I know it could help me. It's just a struggle to exercise. I don't like exercise, and it's a struggle.
So it sounds like you have some doubts about your ability to stick with the PT exercises at home. But you have been successful with doing this for a few weeks in the past, and you understand the potential benefit of it.
Yes, yes. I don't want to be in pain forever.
So it sounds like you want to heal and feel better. What do you think the next steps should be?
I mean, I don't know, but I'd like to see what the possibilities are. I mean, what might be some possibilities?
Well, as I mentioned before, if you'd really like, I can refer you to a physical therapist. And after you get instructions about what to do at home, we could meet again at your follow-up appointment and explore how you might find some support from friends or family to keep up with the exercises.
I'm willing to try that. I can try that.
Okay, great. So I can give you a referral to a PT that I've worked with before. And also, if you're interested in talking with our nurse return to work coordinator, she can explore with you some ideas about returning to work. You wouldn't have to commit anything. Would you like me to set up a time for you to talk with her?
Sure. I don't mind talking to her once and seeing what she has to say.
Okay, great. I'll let her know. Do you want me to see if she's available to talk with you now when we're done, if you have time? Or is it okay for her to call you to set up a time to talk if both of you aren't available now?
Sure. I mean, either works for me, but I'm not working right now. So actually, I'd rather talk with her now and save some time.
Okay. That sounds like a plan.
Great. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Great. Dr. Dickinson, Zan, and Jamar, thanks for your role-playing. Now, can you highlight how this conversation represents motivational interviewing?
Sure. Part of the conversation demonstrated the spirit of motivational interviewing. The intent was to work collaboratively with Jamar as a partner by asking about her preferences. Also, the goal was to show acceptance, care, and concern without judging Jamar's negative statements about physical therapy and returning to work. The intent was to avoid arguing or using persuasion. And some of the motivational interviewing skills were used. For example, I used open-ended questions that started with the words what and how, and generally not why. And there was some application of affirmations by recognizing and acknowledging previous success. And some reflections were used to demonstrate listening or understanding, including the use of one double-sided reflection. But in this example, summaries were not really used.
Okay. In this situation, it seems that Jamar was very quick to agree with moving forward with a treatment plan.
You're right. This was a brief example of applying the spirit principles and skills of motivational interviewing. In reality, it may take more time and effort to move a patient toward positive change, but using motivational interviewing can help people to explore their beliefs and feelings and may help to tip the scale in the direction of making a positive change.
Excellent. Thanks so much to Dr. Jacobson, Van, and Jamar for sharing a scenario that illustrates how to apply motivational interviewing. To our listeners, I hope you found this helpful. And if you have not done so already, we suggest you listen to part one of this podcast, which goes into detail about the spirit, principles, skills, and techniques of motivational interviewing. Thank you for joining us.